This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on vacation. He will be back on Tuesday. It's Friday.
Yes.
Smile, Joe. It's Friday, man. Smile.
Smile for me, pussycat. Smile.
He's wiggling his jaw. Looks like he's cussing me out.
You all right?
Yeah, I think he's... Got nothing to smile about in my life.
Was that the dude on the internet when somebody said, hey, man, why don't you smile? Nothing to smile about in my life.
It's Friday, so you know what that means for me.
Oh, haircut time.
Yeah, got to get Robbie a haircut.
Got to head to the barbershop. Which great clips do you guys go to?
We don't.
Oh.
Right. We don't. Bottom line.
That's for the haircuttery.
We go to the barbershop, not the salon.
Oh. Well, hey. You know what's interesting though? Like I was watching last night. Did you see Shaq sign off on TNT? He said they gonna fire us anyway. F it. I don't care about this bleep.
They didn't bleep it. No, they didn't even bleep it.
I know. I can't say it.
He
on
dropped
the air.
An S and an F.
Yeah, what are they gonna do? Okay.
Is this their last one?
I mean, this is before the All-Star break, so I'm assuming. I don't know how this whole thing works out, and because I know Barkley said he wasn't going to Amazon Prime. So
is
I guess they continue doing the show to a degree. Maybe they don't have the same access. I have no idea.
I mean, is Shaq going?
That's why. I mean, I don't know what any of these guys have decided because I don't understand it really. Like TNT, are we going to have any games on TNT or is it just are they all going to be
so
on
in
Amazon
the middle Prime? Of the year? They just swap. They just.
I mean, I guess I don't know, but that's what he was saying last night. Is he signing off? So,
hey.
I guess we'll find out, man. Because
if you're like, dropping F-bombs, you're probably not going.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand, too. Like, I'm trying to figure out what this NBA All-Star Weekend is supposed to look like, because I still don't understand the format just yet. But, yeah, we're going to have...
too cute.
I mean, they're doing too many different things. And yeah, as somebody said, you can only watch the three-point shootout so many times and get as interested in it. It's the same thing every year.
Yeah.
The sad part is that the dunk contest, it just... You're not seeing enough new stuff. Not since Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon were going at it.
Yep.
I mean, look, yep. If you're going to invite somebody up from the G League because he's a good dunker, then you're not having the right thing.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So just a. Okay. So they're not going to Amazon. They're getting licensed out to ESPN.
Okay. But that was their last
Chuck,
one. On-
Chuck, no. They're still going for the rest of the season. Chuck said that he's not going to Amazon. But a lot of people are saying that's just a negotiating tactic.
Okay.
None of them are actually getting fired. They're just moving to another network.
Okay.
So no one really knows who they're sticking, like if they're actually sticking around.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, I like this little game that CBS Sports plays every year.
Yeah, it's
redrafting.
Fun. Yep.
So we don't get Nate Wiggins now. He goes to the Cincinnati Bengals before we get the chance to get him. We now get Renardo Green.
Did Jaden Daniels go number one overall in the redraft?
He's also a cornerback, by the way, Renardo Green. Jaden Daniels now goes number one.
Yeah.
He goes number one overall to the Bears. The Commanders get Caleb Williams. And Drake May still goes to New England. Jarrett Verse goes to the Cardinals. And Joe Ott to the
Chargers.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, because
that's where Bo Nix goes now.
Where?
He's now a Giant.
Good for him. Good for you.
Cooper DeJean doesn't win a Super Bowl this year because he's in Tennessee.
Yeah, they talked about him being what a steal that was in the second round.
And Malik Nabers is now a Bear, too.
Did you hear that he tried to meet LeBron and LeBron didn't know who he was?
I saw the video.
Yeah.
LeBron was dapping everybody up and stopped just short of him. And Cooper was like, you know, like your dog wagging his tail waiting for him to come over to you. We should come over to them and you never do. That's how Cooper DeJean looked.
Poor guy. Breaking barriers.
He said, hey, he's the cornerback for the Eagles. Nah.
Nah, man. Come on. You playing. Nah.
Nah.
Couldn't be. He's he ain't the right size.
There you go. Let's go with that. Let's go with that. He little. Maryland getting it done last night. It's a good win for them. We'll talk about that at 6:45.
Yeah, it got dicey at the end. I thought there was one person that had a huge bucket that really kind of decided the game, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. What about the women's side? UCLA losing their first game. USC taking care of business.
Juju getting it done?
Juju got it done. She had 37 last night.
Oh, God.
She'd been struggling lately.
Yeah. Them damn State Farm commercials.
Like a little neighbor. She was there last night. She tore it up.
I can't wait for some of these girls to get to the league to see how competitive this league gets, because there's a lot of really good talent that's going to be up in the next 2 to 3 years.
Do you want the WNBA to get like the NBA, where they can leave after 1 year? Or do you want them to stay where it is, where it's like baseball? You either graduate early or you're 3 years removed from high school?
I think if they want to keep this thing flowing right, they want the girls to stay in college for as long as they can.
Because there was a big controversy a couple of years ago, maybe about 10 years ago. A kid at Notre Dame got redshirted, played 2 years, and went into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, you only played 2 years. She graduated. Three years.
So if you graduate, you can go.
Yeah, Muffy McGraw did not like it.
Yeah.
But she did not.
Muffy didn't?
She didn't like it. But the rule is, if you grow, you can leave early when you graduate.
Yeah.
And because she had a redshirt year, I think because of an injury, and she graduated in 3 years, played 2 years, and she left.
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment as well. But when you look at these leagues, they like to use the college levels as minor leagues for themselves. And if you're filtering in, like the big debate happened where they were saying, well, how is it possible that a kid can decide to go fight for his country but can't go play in the NBA? And what the NBA was trying to do was eliminate the guys that just get there and fail. Because you draft a high school kid early and he fails, it sets you back a couple years.
Here is you got either turn 22 or graduate early. That's the rules. Now, this is what I don't like, though. That's only for United States kids. It's not for foreign kids.
Really?
The rule restricts players in the United States from entering a draft either before the year they turn 22 or graduate early.
Well, it's funny. Like, I didn't think I knew that, but I did, because like Luka was playing as a 14-year-old in an adults league over there. That's how crazy that is to look at it. And when he won a championship, he was 18. So he was coming over here before he could even drink.
But is it fair that a kid from another country can come to the WNBA at 19?
It's the exchange rate. That's what it is.
But Juju has to wait to see either the year she turns 22.
Yeah, I mean, look,
it's not fair.
Any way you look at it,
I don't think
it's
the baseball draft is fair.
No, because there are teams that are never going to have an opportunity to sign any of these foreign-born players, because you have the teams up top that are willing to throw money at it. And every once in a while, you get a team like the Orioles that tries to attack the next group and get those guys signed before these other guys sign.
Right.
And I think that's what happens. And if you're not on the West Coast for some of the Japanese and Korean ball players, you better be in a huge market.
You better be. Or have a lot of money. You're right. That West Coast seems to eat them up.
And I don't think it matters with the islands in South America when you're looking at some of these ball players, because they'll go play anywhere. But these guys are getting signed when they're 14, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll talk Maryland, Nebraska at 6:45. Don't go anywhere, but on the other side. Michael Elias said that he's confident in the team that they put together right now, seemingly saying no more room for free agents. Your thoughts about that? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Jeremy Card.
Yeah.
As the Orioles get ready for the 2025 season, how do you feel about the guys that are on the roster right now?
I like their roster. I the only thing for me that...
You can go buck. I like our guys.
I like our guys. I do like the roster. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed, though, and that's going to be the hard part. And what I mean by that is you have a lot of young players, and I don't know that I need to, and with all due respect to Ryan O'Hearn, I'd rather see Kiersted be getting those at-bats, you know? And I'm not telling you O'Hearn's a bad player, but the way this roster is constructed, I'd like to see that more.
You know, when you said Ryan O'Hearn, I was great. I'm thinking to myself, Nolan Ryan's not here anymore. Yeah. I don't know why I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, this is what Mike Elias had to say about the roster.
We're still, on the phones and seeing what happens. I would probably caveat that with, we're here, the group's here. This is a group that we feel is ready to take into the season. And you know, every day that ticks along in spring training, the odds of outside additions kind of tick down, but it's always a possibility.
He started off by saying, we're still on the phones, am I right?
Yep.
And he finished up by talking about the roster now.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Elias the way we've gotten to know Elias, he just said nothing to us.
Well, I think the only, like, what I heard was they're done in free agency, but they're not done with trades.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like to me.
That's not like they're done, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's so, to me, that was a big non-commitment.
Yeah.
That's what that was. I mean, we're still on the phone.
I don't know that there's anything left to sign that you would consider. I mean, there's still players out there, don't get me wrong, but when you look at this roster, it's like, where would they play here? But if you honestly took a look at the roster and some of the farm pieces, you could sit here and go, well, I could see them moving those two guys in that farm piece for this player.
And it goes back to what you said, and I guess support of what you said, a lot of mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only way I can add something is if I give something away also. I can't just start bringing guys in because I already have a log jam. So now I have to use my access to create some my surplus to create some different moves for myself for some actual needs.
So let me ask you a couple different things. Do you think Basayo's up this year?
Yes.
So that means a decision's made there at catcher, and then also a decision's going to be made at DH at that point too. Do you think they want to see Kierstead play a lot?
Yes.
So then that means maybe there's a platoon with Tyler O'Neill that we're not thinking about, and it's just lefty-righty. Like, hey, you're playing against lefties, you're playing against righties. I don't assume that Tyler O'Neill's only going to hit against lefties, that he would DH in there, but there would also be that ability. Or he's in the outfield and Kierstead's DHing. I think Kobe Mayo has to start on the minor league roster.
Which is a shame.
There's just not a spot for him with the way that this roster's constructed.
Unless
there's a trade.
In spring training.
Yeah.
What do you think the likelihood is of a spring training trade?
I mean, I still think something's going down. The Padres just basically, I don't know if they're bluffing, but they said, hey, we're just going to go into the season with Michael King and Dylan Cease, where the Red Sox were kicking the tires on it, so were the Orioles. But what they're asking for is just way too much for 1 year of Dylan Cease or even for Mike King. But I think something happens, if not in spring training, early in the season.
So this is before May.
I think it has to, man. I just don't like when I look at Kobe Mayo. Like, there's nothing wrong with sending him to the minors, except look at his age and he needs to hit this level.
Yeah, he does.
You need to see if this dog can hunt, man.
900 plus OPS. And then, come on.
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's just nothing left to prove there, and that's what I'm saying about like the tough decisions they have to make, because you're a competitive team, so you can't just forego what you're trying to do now to see if this young guy can play. But you have to mix it in somehow, some way.
Right, you do.
And DH is the easiest thing to throw a guy into where he doesn't have to play the field and get him some at-bats. But you got a lot of DHs on this team.
You do. You have a lot of DHs without having a DH.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got guys who can legitimately play the
Sanchez,
field.
Sanchez, O'Hearn, Kierstead.
You just put them at DH.
I mean, you put Kobe Mayo there. Basayo gets caught up. He's there. Gary Sanchez is another guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could see any of these guys DH. And depending, and look, I'm sure Hyde's going to have some lefty-righty matchups depending on who's pitching.
You know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just analytically speaking, that's going to happen all the time.
What do you think they'll trade for, though? Are they trading? I'm thinking pitching.
Yeah.
Because they don't need – they have a surplus of position players. So you don't trade a position player for a position player. A position player has to go for a pitcher.
Yeah. You do realize, too, like, if they're trading for a starting pitcher, that's going to be somebody of significance.
Yeah.
And on top of that, so you're adding that to the already group with Grayson and Eflin. If it happens, I mean, there's some people out there, like, oh, it's not going to happen. Okay. But then you also get Kyle Bradish back at the middle of the season. Like, that, this could be something where all of a sudden everybody's like, we didn't do anything. And it's like, oh, look at what we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, really think that could happen. But
are you okay if they trade for a rental pitcher?
I am, but it, like, I trust they're not going to give up anything of substance, though.
I don't want a rental. I want a guy that has at least another year on him after this year. I want a Zach Eflin.
If the rental is Dylan Cease, I'm okay with it, as long as Kobe Mayo, Basayo, Kierstead isn't in that trade. Because I don't think you should be giving up something like that. You can still give up a player that's ready to play now. Like,
right.
We all think something's going to happen with Cedric Mullins at some point. And look, I've been talking about it for years now that Mountcastle's the one guy it made sense for them to move because he's still under control when the guy can play. but you can get younger or better there at that position through free agency or within your own farm system because you have players that play there.
Let's go to Dundalk and get Donnie. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to voice my support for Mike Elias and Sig Meidel. You know, they've really kind of come in with this plan. They've never deviated from it. You know, they took us from a team that had zero direction to a team that has a firm, consistent direction, which I'm really happy for. And, you know, I just wanted to touch on a couple points that you guys were making there. And you know, I think that Ryan Mountcastle and Cedric Mullins, I think they should have struck while the iron was hot there. Well, you know, before the team signed the Pete Alonzos and Christian Walkers and things like that. And you know, I think that they have, and I think your point, you were talking about starting pitching. I think that that's the obvious, you know, missing piece right there is that number one or number two starter. But
hey, Donnie, can I stop you for 1 second, Donnie? Just, okay, you said they should have struck while the iron was hot before teams signed, guys. Let me, what if, because teams missed out on Pete Alonso, that creates a greater need now for Ryan Mountcastle?
Yeah, definitely. That could certainly happen. Yeah, I think the teams who missed out on, like, the Ryan Mountcastles and the Cedric Mullins, but they also missed out on Pete Alonzo's, they could have that glaring need at first base or the DH position. But I think that trading position players for starting pitching is a great idea, but I think that on the other side of the argument there, or the other side of the other team, I think that they realize that starting pitching is certainly a rare commodity, and they have a ton of position players who are ready to come up. The final point I want to say is these guys, you know, I love your show. You guys are great. You guys are awesome, and thanks for repping Baltimore.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Donnie.
Appreciate it. Yeah, look, and he seems, honestly, like an intelligent fan, and I'm not saying that because I agree with a lot of the things he said, but you do have direction now with Mike Elias.
Yeah,
like, with all due respect to the guys we had in the front office, because I don't think it's their fault. I think it was ownership's fault. You had no direction because their hands were tied. Like, I think Elias knows what he's allowed to do, what he can do, how much money he can spend, but he's also a smart businessman, so he's just not going to go out and throw. It's like getting paid on payday. It's like, oh my God, I got so much money. Why don't I spend it all on Friday? Because you're not going to have money for 2 weeks. You know, like, that type of thing. They're going to have a business model, which they do, and you're going to see how they're working it. And they've been upfront with saying, we don't want to trade Mayo, Basayo, Holiday.
Right.
We don't. So stop asking for it. And what do teams do every time they
keep
ask?
Keep asking.
Asking for those guys. You get the same answer.
I thought maybe you had some shots last night and you weren't thinking right. And that's why you, that's what I was thinking.
I thought you had said you had wanted him. Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Terps, Nebraska at 6:45. Don't go anywhere. Jeremy Kahn's World is Stupid at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, let's keep it to baseball. You asked, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Kierstad, according to Mike Elias, has earned the right to get a lot of at-bats at the corner outfield and DH. Is it time for him to put up or shut up? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What is this song?
A little John Mayer for you.
Okay.
Now, who's this? Oh, this is not what... This is Fleetwood. Yeah.
You said John Mayer?
They open into the one John Mayer song starts just like this that you play from his new album. Yeah.
It's not that one goes dun 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 dun.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. It's
doesn't
just
sound like
it's
me.
Like Ice Ice Baby and the Queen song with David Bowie. Where they're under pressure. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Can we keep
but
moving?
I'm just not picking up what you're putting
man,
down.
Man, just say something else and keep this damn thing
I'm
moving.
I'm just saying, man.
I made a mistake. What do you want from me?
Lay down on a sword, mother.
It's like, man.
Lay down. Mike Elias talked about the guy that you wanted to talk about. Guess that.
I like.
Oh. And this is what he had to say.
Oh. Yeah, I do. I don't know that, you know, he needs to tear a cover off the ball in the Grapefruit League. You know, we've seen him do that already. He's played pretty well in a limited opportunity at the major league level. He's played really well in the minors, and you know he's 25, going on 26, and you know this is a big opportunity for him. And I think he's kind of earned the right to get a lot of at bats in the corner outfield and in the DH spot, specifically against right-handed pitching. But you know, long term, I mean, this guy, when we took him, he's one of the best hitters in college baseball, and he can hit left-handed pitching, but the big leagues are tough, and you know it's that's why we're putting together a team that has some right-hand options as well.
In 52 games, he has 147 career plate appearances, 6 home runs, 17 RBI, a on-base percentage of 336, slugging of 411, OPS of 746. That's not a bad slash line for the limited plate appearances. I want to see more of Silent J.
I do too. And man, like I've been talking about the way that this cat swings the bat. And if you listen to us yesterday when we talked to Steve Molesky, you know, he kind of talked about if you go back and look at how his minor league, you know, opportunities there got set back because of that sickness, injury, whatever you want to call it. And then even last year, he started to, like, you started to see some of the power. And I'm going, damn, I think this guy has potential to be like a special left-handed bat in this American League East. And then he gets hit in the head. You know, like the hamstring injury before. I need him to stay healthy. And I think if he stays healthy, I think this is a guy, even with, I don't want to say limited at bats, even without playing a full season, I think this is a guy who can hit 30 bombs.
So if Kjerstad has earned the right to get at bats, why hasn't Kobe Mayo?
I don't know. I honestly don't know because I guess because you have a Ryan Mountcastle on the team, because that's where I was going to ask you. Who's your backup first baseman? I mean, is Gary Sanchez playing some first base?
Yes.
But he's right-handed too, just like Mountcastle. Is it O'Hearn playing some first when you need him to, and somebody
Mayo's
else?
Mayo's right-handed, so I mean, he can't.
But I think Mayo starts in the minors. So,
but I'm just saying he can't be the backup if that's the case.
Do you think they try to work Kjerstad over at first base at all? At some point,
no.
Okay, because I don't know that Kjerstad should bring a glove to the ballpark. I think he might be that guy.
Really? Somebody hide his glove.
Well, I'm just saying, like you know, if you're looking at it and you have the option to DH Kjerstad, I think you do that every time.
Yeah,
and you
definitely
put another outfielder out there.
Definitely. Well, you know, with Kobe Mayo, you know, you wonder, can he play third? Can he play here? Can he play there? This is what Mike Elias had to say about his defensive possibilities.
I think he'll play some first base in camp. We were talking about it. I don't think that the playing time partitioning, particularly at first base with a number of guys, is going to necessarily be an indicator of what they're going to do throughout the season or where we see them. Some of it's just trying to get guys reps in camp and get them into lineups and games. But he'll be at first, he'll be at third, and he'll definitely be in the batter's box. And, you know, we'll see what he does. But I think the fact that he got his debut out of the way, I think it's a really good thing. I think that's big for young hitters these days. And, you know, he's somebody that we think is poised to be a huge contributor this year. But so we'll give him a strong look in every opportunity, and that may include some first base and some third base in the Grapefruit League.
He said he'll play some first base. He'll have be at third base, but he'll definitely have a bat in his hand.
What was Mike Elias doing at Worthington Steel? What the hell's going on there? Or is that Bethlehem? I mean, come on, man. Joe was whispering right here and said, it sounds like they're at a steel yard. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know that Kobe Mayo can be a third baseman at this level for what you expect out of that position. Like, Westberg got put there, and you're like, I get it. He belongs there. And there are teams for years that have put players over at that spot. Like, they talked about moving Vlad Guerrero back to third base. He's a good first baseman. He's going to be a sieve over there at third base.
He's a gold glove first baseman.
Yes, but I don't think all the things.
Albert Pujols played third base when he first came up.
Yeah, and again, once he got older, it's like he can't play either one of those positions.
Well, it was Mark McGwire holding him back from first. Remember?
I get that.
Yeah,
but as a young player, sometimes like Miguel Cabrera playing third base and eventually in the outfield, and the same thing happened when you watch him play. You're like, he's not bad, but he's not good at that position either.
Right.
So why don't we move him to first base where he'd be better off? And I think ultimately that's where Kobe Mayo ends up playing. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to see if he's athletic enough to play a corner outfield spot, but it doesn't sound like they're interested in that.
Not at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some rumors about that last year. But yeah, I mean, look, if you start stacking the lineup up, you have to figure out how you're doing it. You know, when they re-signed Ryan O'Hearn, I'm going, okay, well, where does this take them now? Because then I definitely thought that Mountcastle was going to be moved and maybe Kobe Mayo is getting a bunch of starts at first base to see what he has. But do you want to make that decision without seeing him there first to see? Like, he did not have a great showing his first cup of coffee in the majors. Neither did Jackson Holliday. Neither did Grayson Rodriguez. You know, you're hoping the second time around you start to see what everybody's been talking about.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Real quick, before I get to the olds, like, y'all gonna win them tickets for Metallican?
Metallican?
Yeah.
Do we have any more Metallican tickets, Joe? I think that's it. No more Metallican tickets. We're out.
Next Thursday. Well,
next Thursday. Next Thursday.
Who the hell is Metallican?
The rock band.
The rock group. Yeah, the rock group. Yeah. I ain't calling for me. I don't listen to the guys, but Dustin wanted me to win him.
It's obvious you don't listen to him. Metallican. The hell is that?
What's it called? What's
it's Metallica.
Name? It's close enough. Metallica. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Metallicon. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, why y'all do that to me,
hey,
man?
Let me ask you a question, Bashar. What white girl you dating right now that you trying to get Metallica tickets for?
You heard him, Dustin.
No, I owe him some money, and he said if I went up some Metallica tickets, then, you know, we'd be squared away. You know, but, hey, anyway.
That's what they all say. What's her name?
Nah, man.
You trying to take a white girl to the concert, aren't you?
Yeah, man. Her name is Brittany, man. She live out in Middle River. Though,
you better not
man,
be wearing one of those Confederate flag shirts to the concert. You know, we've seen this. That's going overboard, man.
Hey, I got to do whatever I got to do, man, to get in here. Hey. But listen, man. As far as Heston, right? You know, so I think when they brought back O'Hearn, that kind of messed things up with him. Like, I know we see O'Hearn did last year when he had to play full-time, right? For Mountcastle, when Mountcastle was hurt, right?
Yeah.
But can they try? Couldn't they with can't Heston play a little first base though? If they wouldn't
Can I tell you what my elephant in the room is?
What?
I think O'Hearn is in danger when it's all said and done
of losing the bats.
Yeah, losing maybe a spot. You know, nothing that anybody nobody's talking about. He might be the most expendable one out of everybody.
Yeah, but they gave him $8 million.
I don't think they care.
I don't know, man. You gonna shut out $8 million to somebody that you ain't going to, you know.
I mean, you could look. The other thing that could happen is you could see him being a professional hitter and getting in at bat in almost every game. Like when you want someone to pinch hit and you got a righty late in the game that O'Hearn comes in and you immediately sub him out. Like, I'm not telling you the guy can't play the field, but.
To me, I love O'Hearn. I love Ron O'Hearn.
I do too.
But I'm telling you, I think. We keep bringing up all these other names. I think Ryan O'Hearn is the most expendable one out of them all.
Yeah. And last year, if you were looking at when he played on a more regular basis, I mean, he still hit .264. His on-base percentage, .334. Slugging, .427. It's not like he's having a good season. I think you try to make room for him, but at whose expense? Because you want to see the young guys.
Let's go to Greg in Dundalk. What's up, Greg?
Good morning, guys. Hey, listen, I've been watching baseball a long time. Let me ask you a question. How hard is it to just find a solid nine and play them every day and just pull off the bench when you need them like they used to?
Well, because there's more. Look, there's more to do with lefty-righty matchups.
Greg, how old are you?
60.
When did they ever do that? Orioles never had a solid nine. Orioles have never had a solid nine. You had Benny Ayala. You had Platoon in right field. You had Disco Dan Ford. You had Jim Dwyer. You had Lenny Sakata playing in the infield along with Rich Dow. They've never had a solid nine. You had Joe Nolan behind the plate, the substitute for Rick Dempsey. I don't know what Orioles baseball had a solid nine every night.
I'm just saying, wouldn't it be easier?
Nobody's ever done that. The problem. That's not true. They never had a solid nine.
The hard part trying to do that, because I think there have been teams that have predominantly had the lineup they want, but they still make switches one or two pieces out for lefty-righties. There are teams that have a solid six, solid seven that are going to play almost every day.
That man's a little bit older than me. That era had Eddie Murray playing first every day, Cal Ripken playing shortstop every day. Who else was playing every day on that team? Al Bumbry even got to the point where he had to rotate with John Shelby. Mm-hmm. Who's had a solid nine? What Oriole history had a solid nine?
But you're going to see this from teams because it makes sense. Analytically speaking, you want lefties against righties and righties against lefties. There's a reason why the numbers tell you that that's what you want in most situations. Now, you do have a few anomalies of guys that are reverse splits. There are some guys in this league as left-handers. Like one of the perfect ones is Yordan Alvarez. He hits lefties and righties just the same because you know why? He's an amazing effing hitter.
He's different. He's this guy going to be Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah.
World is stupid at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Terps take care of business on the road. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Talking Terps hoops on the Fan. First off,
Fleetwood Mac.
Is this it?
First off, before we go on to Maryland, we had Pat Scarry on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Big win for him versus Delaware. He and his young men, they won 75-70 last night over Delaware. They're now 12-1 in the conference.
It's a big win, Pat. It's a good. It's also a good cover for Delaware last night. Thank you very much.
Because you said it wouldn't cover it. 8.5.
Yeah. I got the Maryland game wrong because I had the under, but I definitely got Delaware right and a couple other ones.
I got Delaware, Maryland right.
See.
Because I had Maryland. Maryland was 1.5-point underdogs. And yep. I felt they would win outright. I got the money line.
Yeah, I mean, the game. So I was talking about this earlier. There was a big basket. Once they cut it to 2 with about 2 minutes left to go, Jacoby Gillespie had this great drive and finish at the hoop.
Yes.
And to me, that's the break point you need at that spot, because the momentum shifts if they get the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead. It just always, and then that crowd, you feel that energy come in, especially a place like Nebraska. So
there ain't nothing else to do.
Yeah. So like, I thought that was a big moment at the end. And Derek Queen, I think he picked up his 4th foul late.
He moved past Cooper Flagg in 20-point, 10-rebound games this year.
Wow. Just shows you how impressive
he is. He leads the nation in terms of freshmen in 20-point, 10-rebound games.
I wonder what type of pro he's going to be.
We had that conversation last night. I was watching the game with Mark Healy and a couple of other dudes. And Mark said, well, I wouldn't go in the NBA if I was him. He can get more money in the NIL by coming back to Maryland.
If you're a lottery pick, you go.
Well, he's not going to be a lottery pick.
I mean, with the numbers he's putting up now?
I don't think he will be.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything to say he would be, but he's definitely going to be a first-round pick. And they always say, too, if you know you're going to be a first-round pick, you're guaranteed money.
Got to go.
If you're any thought that you might be picked in the second round, there's nothing guaranteed about it. Yeah. You could get sent to the G League or just be cut owed anything.
You know one thing I still don't like about last night?
What's that?
7 minutes, 3 minutes, 7 minutes. Those are the three guys that Kevin Willett used coming off the bench. He's becoming Tom Thibodeau.
He trusts who he trusts.
He's becoming Tom Thibodeau, man. Seriously, with his bench.
Yeah.
37, 36, 37, 39, 34. Those are the minutes by starters.
But no matter what you say, it's a big road win, and every road win ends up being a big one. But you're right. Like when you start,
he's got to be able to use that bench a little bit more, man. It's going to kill him.
You're going to have to, because you know what happens if you're not using the bench. As soon as somebody gets in foul trouble, now you're getting overexposed at another position. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's always one of those issues. Plus, you're wearing your team down, and it's tough to play. Like, when you think about March Madness, you're playing 2 games in 4 days, or 2 games in 3 days, in essence, you know? I mean, we'll see what happens.
And you got to take care of these guys, man. They're going to be exhausted. Julian Reese, I thought, had an outstanding game. He had 13 points, 12 rebounds.
He had a couple of stops.
He had a couple of blocks.
Steals and blocks, yeah.
Nice, man. I mean, just – and what I love is they don't turn the ball over a ton. They had 12 turnovers last night, which is kind of on the high side for them. They don't turn the ball over a ton. And, of course, has Celton Miguel ever seen a shot that he didn't like? He's put it up, man.
Yeah.
He ain't wasting time.
He doesn't mind. I mean, look.
He's the definition of catch and shoot.
Yeah, I mean, look, taking 5 threes last night, hitting 3 of them, is exactly what you want. And the Terps actually, I mean, they shot fairly well outside of Rice behind the arc. And I think it's something, too, where you're looking at this team. Remember, last year we would say, why do they keep falling in love with the 3? Because they can't hit them. If you're hitting them, it's okay. But when you got the 2 bigs in the middle that can really do some damage, I mean, Reese with a double-double along with Derek Queen, you're getting that type of production, you're going to be in every game.
In this era of basketball, Jeremy, you know, 15 three attempts is not a lot.
No.
They had 15 last night. That's it. I mean, on the other side, for instance, Nebraska had 25 three-point attempts.
They made almost half of them, so yeah. It's a good percentage.
46.7%. 15 three-point attempts is nothing in today's era.
Yeah,
and you want to get that in a half.
And again, keeping down the turnovers, I think key and paramount on the road. And if you're looking at the Terps schedule, you know, they got a couple of home games coming up against Iowa and USC, both very winnable games, and then another home game against Michigan State.
3 straight home games.
That's why you circle that, because that USC game is the one where you cannot have a look ahead.
You can't.
You can't overlook USC waiting for Michigan State to come to town.
Before we get out of here, Joe, you gave me some information on Derek Queen's draft possibility.
Yeah, this came out 2 days ago. It's 24/7 Sports. Friend of the program, Jeff Ehrman, put this together. Most mock drafts have Queen in the mid-teens to mid-20s, but after that 29-point game he had on Sunday...
With 50 NBA scouts there.
Yeah, his highest point for a mock draft was number 10 going to the Thunder.
Hmm. Yeah, it would not shock me to see him be a lottery pick. Just like so in the NBA,
so if he goes on a good run, he's a lottery pick.
Yeah, and then also if he, because remember now you don't have to hire an agent. He can go to the combine in Vegas and play against all the other kids to showcase his talents and see where they have him mocked then, and then decide if he wants to move forward with an agent in the draft. I think that might be the best possibility, unless somebody's saying, hey, if you're there at 7, we're taking you. You know, if you're there here, we're taking you. And then it gives you the idea of whether or not you want to come out.
Matt Wyrick would join us at 7:30 to talk some Orioles baseball as he is in Sarasota. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
They're going to have some fun. So I have all these are sports stories, and I'll explain everything. I've talked about nightmare fuel all the time. One of the worst things that can happen in this sport, bull riding. I'll tell you about that and what happened and one guy who's lucky to be alive. And Barstool did a list of the worst things in sports. It says 10 things in sports that are completely stupid, meaning rules and things that happen. I'll go over it and see which ones you agree with. We'll have some fun with it next here in the World of Stupid.